Welcome to the Hallelujah House Podcast, an extension ministry of the Hallelujah House blog, where we encourage women to glorify God in heart, heritage, and home. This is Tammy Carter Adams.
And I'm Liz Hammond. We invite you to join our conversation today. Come on, sit around our table.
Welcome home. Welcome to the Hallelujah House Podcast. I'm here with Liz. We're back at the farmhouse today, and we're talking about, this is Tammy, and we're talking about children and repentance, and why is it important for us to teach our children how to repent? And there is a Proverbs in Proverbs 22:6 that states, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that is a proverb, not a promise. And we tend to want to hold on to it as a promise, don't we, as parents? We want to say, I've done everything right.
Yeah.
What is wrong with my child? This is not fair, you know?
Yeah, it's like a divine vending machine. I've heard it this way. It's like a divine vending machine. Okay, God, every Friday we did our devotions as a family. At night before bed, we read Psalms and we prayed together. God, I taught them right from wrong, but now they're 26 years old and they are running to the far country. What is going on? I thought if you train them up, they will not depart from it. We get really confused by that.
And I have a wise friend who once told me I was complaining about some things that my boys were doing in their life. And she said, Tammy, you know, we can try and put them in a bubble, but if you put them in a bubble, they will never have a testimony of their own. And I thought, wow, that's so powerful that God needs to work through them and in them. And if they fall into sin, God is going to, like, you know, do his thing on them.
Just which, like he did in us.
Yes, exactly.
And he's doing
us. So continues to do. So I do have faith that when you do train up a child the way he should go, and if you're as a mama in continued prayer for your child, I have to believe that God will lead them back home.
That's right.
Or shine a light or cause things to happen in their life where they're just desperate.
That's right. And there's another scripture that I love that says, God's word will not return void. Now that is a promise.
Yes.
When you teach your children God's word, it's not going to be in vain. The Lord will use it. He does bring it back to their remembrance. They've memorized all this scripture growing up. When they're older, and when the Holy Spirit sees that it's time, he will bring that back to their remembrance. And he knows how to woo us back to himself. So we can bank on that.
He does. So let's talk about what is repentance. And we're going to, there's a verse in 2 Corinthians 7:9 that does explain that well. And do you have that?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians.
Actually, I'm going to read it because remember we talked about my standard, the English Standard Version was a better version for this verse. In 2 Corinthians 7:9-10, as it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. So we're going to talk about that. What is godly grief? Because we know what worldly grief is, shame.
And regret.
Yeah.
Like a regret that leads to despair and despondency and wanting to just give up, quit, total failure, hopelessness.
Yeah, hopelessness.
And that is not of God. God gives us godly sorrow. Earlier, Tammy and I were talking about that. What is a godly sorrow? Well, it's when you recognize that what you have done, your disobedience, has hurt the Lord. It has grieved the Holy Spirit. You know that you own your sin. You've owned up to something you've done. And the conviction that God gives you is a godly sorrow. And it always will lead to a very victorious fruit. And that is like no regret, no shame. It'll lead to a changed life. Repentance is when we are convicted by the Holy Spirit, we recognize it, we confess it, and then we turn from it in a new direction. We do not stay in that sin. We do not make a practice of that sin. And we're sorry for that sin. We ask the Lord to forgive us, and we move with our head held high, no shame, knowing that there's no condemnation for us that are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. And we talked about the prodigal son, the story that we all know is a very familiar story, where he takes his inheritance early before his father dies. And it's kind of, you know, it's a shameful thing for a boy to do that. And he goes off and he lives the high life and blows his money. And then he ends up feeding hogs. And he states while he's feeding these hogs that his dad's servants get treated better than he does. He realizes that. And he has a worldly grief as he's sitting there feeding the hogs. He's thinking, do you have that passage with that
yeah.
part? Read that part. And what chapter is that?
This is found in Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 20. It says, when he came to his senses, this is the prodigal son, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. I'll stop there at verse 19. Yeah. That's that right there. He recognizes where he is. He recognizes what he did wrong, but he started to develop a worldly sorrow, like a sorrow that's shameful. Because a godly sorrow does not keep us in shame. And if you continue to read, you'll see that it says, so he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. He was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And his father wanted to show him unconditional love. He was celebrating that his son had come home. He did not want him to stay in shame, just like our Heavenly Father doesn't. He loves that we turn to him, turn away from our sin, come back to him with godly sorrow.
That's so good. So powerful. Okay. And so the reason... the prodigal said he was sinning against heaven and his father. He did recognize that he was sinning against heaven and his father. And so I was thinking about, so what is the, let's go back to what is the purpose for repentance? It leads to salvation, leaves no regret. And it brings rejoicing and celebration. And we see that in Luke 15, 10. And on Luke 15, 10, it says, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Amen.
So it does lead to some yes. celebration in heaven when you do repent. So let's talk about how do we apply this to our children? Let's give some practical advice on this.
Mm-hmm. In thinking about talking to your children about sin in their life and you know, confessing it to one another. There's also a verse that says, confess your faults one to another so that you will be healed. So repentance actually leads to healing too. That's another bonus. But in thinking about modeling that behavior to our children, I'm thinking of an example, and I know my mom won't mind me sharing this. I know she won't because we talked about it. One day recently, my daughter Faith was home from college and she was sitting downstairs just vegging out in front of the TV, and she had on a series that she was watching, and this series was just, you know, a worldly show, but she was all wrapped up in it. Well, every other word out of somebody's mouth on that show was either the F word or, you know, just even a word that really offends the Lord, you know, GD. And my mom wasn't watching the show, but she heard it. And quietly, she walked over to Faith and she just said, Faith, you know, do you hear how much they're cursing on there? And she's like, that's really offensive. Like, I don't like hearing it. And, you know, I know that the Lord doesn't want us hearing things like that. And so anyway, Faith did the right thing and she turned it off. Well, a few days later, my mom was watching a show And it was something that she really wanted to see. She had been told it was a good show and she turned it on. She's watching it. I happened to walk downstairs and what do you think I heard? I heard the very same thing mm-hmm. being broadcast. Yeah. Just foul, vile conversation, vile words, offensive. And it's like my mom was so into the show, she did not recognize it. Mm-hmm. So I said to her, Mom, you're doing the very same thing that you pointed out to Faith. I said, the way that Faith is really going to listen to you is if you model that behavior to her. Like, seriously, if you're going to tolerate that, then why shouldn't she? Mm-hmm. So repentance would be like, Faith, you know what? I get convicted by stuff like that. I love shows. I love TV. I love movies. But there's certain things that when I hear it, I know it's offensive to the Lord. I don't need to fill my mind with that kind of stuff. So I have to get up and turn it off. So Faith, I understand. You know, model that to her and tell the Lord that you're sorry. Tell him that you don't want to fill your mind with that. You're feeding your flesh when you do that. And God tells us to feed our spirit. So modeling repentance, turning away from something we know is wrong, confessing it to God, asking for forgiveness, then turning away from it is the way that our kids are going to learn best. We can tell them all day long, you don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. But when they see us in the act and we own it and we make it right and we turn from it, that's how they're going to learn best.
Yeah, exactly. I was sharing with Liz that when my boys were young, confessing sins wasn't talked about very much. Repentance in the early 1990s when they were coming up, you know. And now I see this rebirth of it in the church because I believe that the church is being sifted, mm-hmm. I should say.
Yeah.
You know, we're starting to see truth. You know, there are churches that are going, veering off the path of truth. And there are churches that were on the path of truth, but probably weak because mm-hmm. of the fact that they didn't talk much about repentance mm-hmm. of sins. And I think now you're starting to see that reemerge mm-hmm. in the church culture and those in the churches that are abiding in truth. And so I didn't focus a lot in our prayer time with my little boys mm-hmm. on confessing sins.
Yeah.
And I should have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to do a little bit different with Bella,
mm-hmm.
you know, where I will say I'm sorry to God in front of her.
Oh, yeah.
If I've done something, you know. The other day, you know, we were in Target and this woman was checking us out and she had mentioned she wasn't having a good day. I asked her how her day was and she told me she had a migraine headache. And I said, we're going to pray for you over your headache when we get in the car. Mm-hmm. We get in the car, I forget, we get down the road and Bella goes, And then I saw someone else and I was like, oh, God, help that person. You know, it's in this accident or whatever. I say it out loud. You know, we always pray for people in car accidents. And Bella goes, Mama, you didn't pray like you said you would for that woman. And her head, you know, she called me out on it, you know.
out of the mouth of babes.
I know. And so I right then I was like, God, I'm so sorry that we didn't pray like we promised that yeah. woman we will. But we're praying now. Please help relieve her headache. And as simple as that, you know, that Bella was able to see that I apologized to God and that I turned back and did the right thing by praying like I said I was going to pray. Yeah, so was there anything else that you wanted to add with that? Also, we talk about like with our kids when they hurt somebody
mm-hmm.
and we always have them apologize to that person. And maybe we need to start directing them to also repent to God for that act.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. So when you're truly repentant, you own what you did, you tell the person that you're sorry, you ask for their forgiveness, and you make it right with God as well. Because we are sinning not only against that person, but against God if we're Christians. We're sinning against both. And it's good to teach our children that God's involved in everything and that he deserves our repentance. He deserves it of anybody. He deserves it. So we do it with God and with those that we've offended. And I didn't always teach my kids that either. I thought it was really important to tell them, don't just say you're sorry, ask for their forgiveness. And if they choose to give it to you, praise the Lord. But if they don't, you still did the right thing by trying to make it right. But, you know, I neglected to get them to talk to the Lord about it, confessing to God, because the Holy Spirit is grieved by our sin. And he's so quick to forgive. He's so willing to forgive. He's so compassionate. Why won't we take time to ask him? That's what we need to teach our kids. God loves you. He's gracious. He's merciful. He is always forgiving when you ask him.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. So how do we model it? And I think modeling it, especially for our older kids, we think, you know, oh, we can only teach our little ones this. And you, I know some of you moms out there are thinking, well, my kids are grown and they're out of the nest. They're in college or they're in their careers or they have their own families. How can I still be an influencer on their repentance, on the confessing of their lives? Yes, I believe you can. And I think how we can model it is you can have discussions with your children on being honest and transparent and vulnerable in your own sins that you've committed, mm-hmm. and that you've come to confess to the Lord. I talk with my college age boys all the time about things I did when I was their age, and I think we used to hide that stuff in a closet, but if you hide it, you know, you never are able to allow light to get in, right. and to use your education and your wisdom that you've learned through that experience to influence your teenagers or your 20-something year olds. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes our kids look at us, mm-hmm. and maybe they think, well, Mom and Dad, you don't struggle like I do. It wasn't this bad when you were a kid or when you were growing up. You didn't have to face the temptations I do. And if you knew what I was dealing with, mm-hmm. you wouldn't understand. That's why it's important for us to be honest and transparent and vulnerable with them, because they are facing some serious struggles and temptations. But the Word of God says that temptation is common to all men, and we've always had this through the history of the Bible. I mean, sin has always been present, and men, if you're human, women, if you're human, you have always struggled, right? So be honest, be transparent, be vulnerable. Let them know that you can identify with them in their humanness and their sin. And God forgave you, so God will forgive them. Give them that hope that nothing, you can never go too far. You can never be too far away, travel too far in your sin, run so far away from God that his love and his grace and his mercy don't reach you. And if they'll hear that from you as a parent, it'll probably mean more to them than hearing it somewhere else.
Exactly. Exactly. And our job's not done.
Yes.
Our job's not done. As a mama, you're still their mama. My mother is still my mother. Mm-hmm. And my mama will call me down good girl.
I love it.
Yeah, she will. She said, you're getting too big for your britches.
And you know, the neat thing is that I bet your mom allows you to speak into her life as well, because
Hell
she
yeah.
sees you more on... She is your mom, you are her daughter, but she now views you as a peer as well. Like,
yes.
Like, how can you chisel away at me, Tammy? How can you be used of God as an instrument to model truth to me? Because I know my mom and my sisters and I, we do that for each other, and it's a blessing. It really is. It's a blessing mm-hmm. to have that.
Yeah, and to have those open conversations with your kids that are in college, before they go to college, prepare them. Mm-hmm. Prepare them on repentance. Talk to them about it, mm-hmm. you know, because they're going to really need it in college. Mm-hmm. And
you don't have to live with that stuffed inside, that guilt, because if you do not learn lifestyle repentance, you're living with stuffed up, you think it's hidden sin, and you're dying inside. You're feeling so guilty. You've got to release that. God has given you a gift of confession. He's given you a gift of setting free those secret sins, that darkness that wants to keep you in bondage. Let's teach our college-age kids, our adult children, that you don't have to live that way. God wants to set you free from that, and that is by living repentant.
Living repentant. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good place to end.
That is.
All right.
It's been good.
We'll see you next week.